let's meet the gremlins. Let's meet the little shame monsters that live in this swamp who are so quick to whisper in our ear that we're not good enough and that, you know, we don't know what we're doing. And let's talk about what that means as women and men and as people, because it's different for all of us. As you'll see in this session, the next session, there are some general qualities that shame has that are just connected to our humanity. But there are some messages and expectations that are absolutely gender specific. They are driven and organized by gender. And we're going to unpack that and look at that and figure out what that means. And not only how we can overcome it ourselves and work through it, but how we can support each other in that process. And if you're thinking to yourself, you know, maybe this is interesting, maybe it's not, I'm not sure that shame applies to me. What I would tell you is that the shame gremlins show up in our lives in a lot of different ways. I'm thinking back to an email that I received from a woman who I was going to do an online program on my blog around shame. And she sent me an email that said, I love your work. Not so much interested in the shame thing. That doesn't apply. But if you ever do anything on perfectionism, let me know. And I emailed her back and said, shame is the birthplace of perfectionism. It's where perfectionism comes from. And she emailed back and said, I had no idea. My friends and I all really struggle with perfectionism, but we don't claim shame. And I love that idea of not claiming shame because, unfortunately, I hate to start with kind of an ultimatum, but what I have found to be true is that if we don't claim shame, it claims us. You know, if we can't say, yeah, I get what it feels like to be not enough, and I want something different in my life, that we create this incredible operating system for shame because it just hates us talking about it. I have men who tell me often, I don't think I have any shame issues, but man, do I have some rage problems? You know, and what I'll talk about is that when it comes to shame, what I've learned from interviewing hundreds and hundreds of men is that men have two switches when it comes to shame: pissed off, shut down. And we'll talk about where those come from and how those operate. I'm honored that you're with me, and we're going to do some swamp slushing, and we're going to talk about what it is, but we're also going to talk about shame resilience. And that is, on the other side of that swamp, once we're willing to walk through it, take a look around, meet the gremlins, figure out how to deal with them, is the opportunity to live a life without playing small, to step into who we are, to build the kind of relationships that we want to build. And it's not about quick tips and easy answers, because I don't really subscribe to that. It's an unfolding, and it's about learning and knowing and talking. And again, I'm just really excited to be with you on this journey. So to start our journey, we're going to have to start with definitions and really just getting our head and hearts around what is shame. What's the definition? How does it work? How does it play out in our lives? How does it show up in who we are? I think one of the best ways to talk about what shame is to talk about what it isn't and hold it up against some of the more common things that we experience and feel. So where I want to start is to talk about the difference between shame and guilt. I think this is key. Shame is a sense that we are bad, that there's something about us, something we've done or failed to do, that makes us unworthy of love, of acceptance, of belonging. Guilt is not a focus on who we are, but a focus on something we've done. So the way I like to talk about it is, shame is I am bad. Guilt is I did something bad. Shame is a focus on self. Guilt is a focus on behavior. So let me give you an example. This is actually an example from a journal article written by Tangney and Deering. These are my colleagues in the shame world. They're researchers who look at what we call self-conscious affect. And let me break that down. Self-conscious, we all know that. And affect is emotion. So these are some of my colleagues who study the emotions that make us really reflect back on ourselves. And so you go out on a Thursday night and you get hammered. I mean, you drink way too much. You wake up Friday morning hungover. It's late. You realize you've slept through your alarm. You miss an important meeting. You get to work and your self-talk is, the way that you talk to yourself is,